Blog Talk Radio.
A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajim. I seek protection with God from Shaitan, the rejected enemy. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Dear IWDM radio listening audience, it is my pleasure and my honor to welcome you to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab and to offer to you the Muslim greeting of peace, understanding that that's a special kind of peace, the peace that only God can give, and that greeting is Assalamu Alaikum. And this Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab features your host, Mark Shahid and Quran Shakir. I am Quran Shakir, and it is my pleasure to serve as today's engineer, co-producer, and co-host. Dear listening audience, just a reminder, this is a learning lab, and we hope you are in the learning mode because you have tuned in to a program focused on examining approaches to finding a mate and the do's, the don'ts, and the prescriptions for maintaining a successful, tranquil, growth-filled marriage. Now, while we are making our introductions and our opening announcements, we ask you to do us a favor and share the joy of this program by letting your family and friends know that you are listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on IWDM Radio. To do that, you can send a text, make a post, and invite them to join you at 714-816-4673. We also invite you to go ahead and go to our social media page, bring it to the lab, and go ahead and like our post program because it's going to be a good one. And without further ado, it is my esteemed pleasure and my honor to welcome my co-host, Mark Shahid. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam to you, Quran Shakir, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. As always, I like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Shadu ilaha illallah wa nasharik lahu. Wa shahadu anna Muhammadin abduluhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, well, over 1,400 years ago, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shahid, the host, facilitator, producer, along with Quran Shakir of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that is fast approaching our seventh anniversary, going all the way back to October the 13th, the year 2015, and next week, actually on that date, it will be the seventh anniversary of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, starting back at the Sister Learning Lab, AM 360 Radio, and has continued here on IWDM Radio. And we want to say to you that are listening in for the first time, Quran, I want you to know that this, in fact, is your learning lab, and we do invite you to ask questions and to make comments, as we're going to have, as Quran said, a very special learning lab tonight, as we've been blessed to have with us two very distinguished persons in the association, Imam W.D. Muhammad, tonight that we'll be introducing in just a few minutes. We also, before we get into the learning lab tonight and the overview and all, we just want you to know that this learning lab has a foundation, just like the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Matter of fact, it has the same foundation. The sources that we use for the information, the education that we provide on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. and that's the sources and the foundation for it is Al-Quran, the final revelation of Almighty God, Allah, the demonstration of the Quran in the life example of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's the prayers and peace be upon him, and the tafsir. Tafsir simply means the clear explanation by a scholarly leader, Imam Warithuddin Muhammad, in regards to the Quran and the life example of the Prophet. That is the foundation for this learning lab. And we want you to know that if you are listening in by way of the Internet, we know we have quite a few people listening by way of the Internet. If you want to be a part of the Learning Lab tonight in terms of asking questions or making comments that will be made by our special guest facilitators, we do invite you to do so. However, you have to call in to the studio. And Quran has already given you that number. And I hope that you get your pens and pad because this is a Learning Lab, and I know there's going to be some pearls of wisdom that will be given to us tonight. And we want you to be prepared and ready to take notes. There'll be some noteworthy things that's taken, and if you want further elaboration on those things, you'll have to press 1. And for those who are listening by way of the Internet, for you to be able to come in, you would have to dial into the studio. That number, once again, is 714-816-4673. And as Quran said, this is the time now, as we give the prelude to what's coming up tonight. This is an excellent opportunity to contact your family members, contact your friends, your associates, your neighbors, and also community members, and let them know that the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is in session tonight. Once again, 714-816-4673. All you have to do is press 1. If you already dialed in, if you have a question or comment, Quran, I would love to hear from you. And I know our special guest tonight would love to hear from you. All you have to do is press 1 and ask your question or make your comment. And at some point, I'm going to do my little mini survey. Those of you who listen in know I'm going to ask you if what you heard on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, did it resonate with you? And we're going to ask you to press 1. And if you want to do that before I do that later on in the Learning Lab, then please don't hesitate. Don't procrastinate. Press 1. Let us know that what you're hearing is really resonating with you. So before we make the introduction, I'm going to give it back to our very distinguished and esteemed host, Quran Shakir, as we always do some type of overview of the previous episode here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Quran, it's always good to hear your voice, always. I'm glad that you didn't make the trip because that means that you're here. You can't be too close to
the mic.
As-salamu alaykum, Quran. Back to you.
Alaykum as-salam, and it's good to be here and to be heard. So,
dear
listening audience, yes, alhamdulillah. Last week, we began our program as we did with the overview, and then we looked at the importance of emotional maintenance and maturity, healthy emotional maturity in your relationship, and we consider this very, very important. We began by looking at just the definition of this word emotion, and it is energy in motion. That's the etymology that we give for this. We are emotional creatures, we talked about. So Allah has made us to be emotional. And he is the one, as we discussed last week, who has given us, he has bestowed on us laughter and tears. He gives us these two opposites that sometimes we look at as, oh my God, I'm so sad, and we think it's terrible. But sometimes we have to know that it's not that terrible. Allah has given it to us. So he has given us laughter and tears. And we also look at the fact that everything that comes up out of the earth is created in pairs, and we can see it in the human being. It's reflected in the human being. And so everything in creation has its counterpart or his likeness in humans. And that is an instruction or information guidance from Imam W.D. Muhammad. And so we find the four basic things in creation, water, fire, air, land, also in the human being in as a metaphor, so to speak. So emotions are identified as being like the water that we would find in creation. And we looked also at morality being the part of us that makes for sanity in our communities, and it facilitates the emotional intelligence. If you have morality, then your emotional intelligence will rise to its excellence, and it will not deviate from what God wants us to do. You can display emotions without morality, and you will have chaos, and you will have problems. And we have to look at that and be able to then modify our own morality and keep it on its up and up, so to speak, but keep it at an excellent level. We were happy to have Dr. Farouk call in as one of our guest facilitators again. And she called in right at the time that we were talking about emotions and mentioned that emotions are not always negative. The essence of what is going on today is that we have been lured away from managing our emotions, is what she shared. And she says, this world makes us believe that it is okay to be rude and it's okay to not be kind to one another. So it gives this sanction on it. You can see this in the programming and things that we see, the mean girl thing and all of that. And the less we know about us as human beings, the less we are able to manage our emotions and care for ourselves. So we have to be about understanding our emotions and then teach emotions by teaching children about the unseen and teaching them to appreciate what God has given us. Help them to know that Allah sees and hears all, and he has given us what we need to support our own goodness. Dr. Farouk also mentioned that we come here with protection, and we have to honor that protection, and that protection is from Allah and his angels. It is not okay to be angry and be stuck in the past. Calm the drama down, she said, and calm that drama down with truth. Live in a house with someone and find a way to make peace, to make love, and to make honor inside of that house. And she said, unfortunately, it has become socially acceptable to act a fool in public. And I put that in quotation marks, to act a fool in public. And we have found that to be okay. So if you don't make some kind of improvement for your soul to live in, your soul will be disturbed on the outside, and it is dangerous out here. So people are being socialized to be mentally ill. Allah gives us tools to develop ourselves into decent human beings, and that is he gives us revelations, the signs in creation. He comes, gives us calmness in our souls, and he gives us our guardian angels, and that helps us to manage what is going on with us emotionally. And then we liken this to something we use in education, where Allah says that he has given us the written book, the observed book, and the hidden book. And the written book would be that revelation that was mentioned. The observed book would be the cosmos, the universe, the creation, and the hidden book is the soul. And we talked a little bit about the need for us to develop in our children the understanding of their emotions so that they can get a grasp of it early on, using the quotation from our dear brother Frederick Douglass, who said it's easier to build strong children than to repair broken humans, broken men, broken adults. And finally, I end with the quote by our brother Rumi, who said to us, find the sweetness in your own heart so you may find it in every heart. And that is how we went on. It's more we discussed about that, but that's the essence of what we talked about. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. And we want to say to our radio listening audience, when you hear us say Alhamdulillah and you're not Muslim, we're just simply saying that all the praise and all the thanks belongs to God. So I want to say Alhamdulillah to all it is that Quran Shakir has shared with us tonight, excellent, excellent overview. Just want to say, just before you bring this very distinguished, esteemed couple on, last week I also gave the acronym for the word soulmate, and you oftentimes you hear that soulmate, And that's actually what you're looking for in life, because your soulmate ultimately will become your helpmate, your love mate, and also your teammate, because you have to work together. You have to work together. And it's very, very important that you find your soulmate. And we gave an acronym for that, and I think it's a very important one, because when we look at our soulmate, we want to see that you should spend on the united life, on the united life. You know, the soulmate, Allah tells us in the Quran that he created us from one single soul, one single essence. You know, one single essence, you see. So finding that soulmate is so very important. Spend on united life, maintain always true emotions, you see. So the true emotions, we get the true emotions like in terms of from referencing the Quran, because it's Allah that gives us emotions. But emotions have a duality where they can be positive emotions or they can be negative emotions. But it is the word of revelation that keeps our emotions true to the true human spirit that Allah has put into all of us. And Imam Muhammad said, from every soul emanates a spirit, an influence. And we want to be true to the natural creation that Allah has created us into. Thought I would say that, and it gives me great honor to welcome my special guest facilitators tonight, Imam Eugene, and also our beloved sister, Dr. Daya, have joined us tonight. And I want to extend the greetings of peace to both of them tonight, as they have been married for 56 years. And I know some, if you're listening in tonight, the Farooqs have been married for 56 years. Some are not even 56 years old, and they've been married for 56 years. And I know it hasn't always been peaches and cream. So they are special guest facilitators tonight. So make sure you get your pencil and pad, take some notes. I'm going to be taking some notes on this, and I'm quite sure Karan's going to be taking some notes. We're going to be taking some notes. And I got my hat on in terms of questions and everything that I'm going to be asking. Karan's going to be asking some questions. And we want to invite you, our radio listening audience, to ask them some questions. And the more questions we can ask, the more information we can get from them. So it's a great honor and pleasure. Karan, Shakir, and myself welcome both you, Imam Eugene Farooq, and Dr. Daya Farooq. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
Good to have both of you.
Yeah, it's a great honor, Dr. Farooq and Imam Farooq, to have you here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I have to share with the radio listening audience, the first time I was able to hear both of you together upon invitation from my beloved brother, Imam Suleiman Salam, resident imam there in Kansas City, Missouri, as he put on an outstanding, I would say, entity that particular weekend, highlighting the sacred institution of marriage, and you all was the special, special, special guest. You did an outstanding job in terms of conveying the message in terms of marriage and just bringing it down and keeping it real, as the young people used to say, down to earth. And I was so very, very impressed with the presentation, how it was being presented and how you all worked together. And I know everything was in peaches and cream, but we're going to give you an opportunity to convey to the radio listening audience. And we want to kind of give a little brief background. We'll start with that and all. But then we want to get into the meat of it, because we know We have listeners. I've invited people to listen in. Quran has invited people to listen in. And we want to get into the heart of the insights that you can share with us in terms of how you've been able to sustain and maintain your marriage. So always a facilitator to keep it in terms of some type of order. I want to give you just maybe say about 3 minutes apiece, if you would, to speak on how you two met. And this time we're going to start with you, Dr. Farouk, and like 3 minutes. And I'm going to give you a little hint. When I say alhamdulillah, I don't want you to stop in the middle of your sentence. I want you to complete your sentence and your thought, and then we'll go to Imam Farouk and give him opportunity to either extend to what it was you were saying or to let it be known how you two met. I think that's a good starting place right there. So with no further ado, welcome again, Dr. Farouk. As-salamu alaykum to you.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Wa alaykum as-salam to the radio audience also. Imam will elaborate more on how we met, but at the time that we met, I didn't have the criteria at first for looking at someone and meeting a mate. He was a good-looking man to me, so that's the first thing that came to my mind. You know, I wasn't, I didn't know what the content of the
man. Yes, I keep it real.
It's just that he, when we, my girlfriend and I saw him and his friend, I just pointed out to which one I wanted, and that was him. So, alhamdulillah, Allah is the best knower of why I selected him from his physical look, and Allah has blessed us to maintain that reunion for 56 years. So, so I'm going to let Imam Farouk. I'm sure he got something real good to say.
I kind of caught that little, catch word good to say. I mean, married 56 years, so they can speak in meta messages. All right, welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, Imam Eugene Farouk. And now it's your time. You've got about 3 minutes, and your wife gave you a little of her time too. So if you go with three minutes, that's fine. Welcome.
Alhamdulillah, I want to thank you again for inviting us on your program once again. And it's always an honor and a pleasure to be on with you, Brother Mark, and also Sister Karan Shakir. First of all, I say praise and thank you for God. Almighty God Allah, we praise him and we thank him for the gift and blessings of the most honorable person, the most honorable servant of God, Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our dear prophet who received the last and found true revelation from God. I'd like to start off by saying you want a little history of how we met, et cetera. Well, one thing about relationships and what makes those relationships successful is how you enter into the relationship. And that's very important, how you enter into the relationship. Now, I can say this, that when me and my wife, when we first met, it was a very emotional type of situation. We were ruled and controlled by emotion, attraction to each other. But I must say this, it was Al-Islam that corrected all, not saying that there was anything wrong with the way we went into the relationship, but it was Al-Islam that put the correction on that and brought about the balance that made it as successful as it is today. So I always say when I give marriage talks or marriage, perform marriages, I iterate to the couple that the success of a relationship has a lot to do with how you go into the relationship. And it is indeed a blessing that Allah blessed us to come to Islam and become Muslims, because that's what really strengthened our relationship and has enabled us to accomplish what we've accomplished today.
Alhamdulillah.
That's excellent. Now, since you gave us that most important thing in terms of when you how you meet each other and what it is that you should see in each other, and you keeping it real in terms of that, because in fact at that time neither one of you all were Muslim, correct? And
right.
So let's pick it up from there, Imam Farouk, and give us a little bit more, if you would, because you weren't Muslim. And as many young people, that's a common thing in terms of the first attraction. We call it chemistry, having a strong mutual attraction for one another. And most of the time we can relate that in terms of just physically. Nothing wrong with that. Allah has created us in a way, in a manner, that there would be a natural attraction that we can have, but it has to become a little bit deeper, and we'll go into that a little bit later. But anything else that you would like to say when, specifically when you two met to our radio listening audience, Imam Farouk?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, it was, well, I'll just keep it real. It was love at first sight.
It was no turning back.
You know.
Okay.
But what happened? As soon as we were married, I went into the military, you know.
Ooh.
And I think that was also, I have to say, was a saving force in the relationship by me going into the military. Because the military, what it does, it brings about a discipline, you know.
Mm-hmm.
One thing it will do for an individual, it will bring about a discipline in one's life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a factor, and that helped, you know. But
so how old were you, Imam Farouk? How old were you about that time?
I was 19 years old.
Okay, alhamdulillah.
And at that time, you had to be 21 in order to be legally married in Texas. So I had to get my permission from my mother.
Okay.
But what resolved all that was by me being in the military, that kind of made it possible for me to get married without having to get them, because once you're in the military, it was a situation where they have charge of you and whatever goes on in your life. So we were married, and then immediately I was shipped overseas.
Okay.
That was very traumatic. I was shipped to Europe.
Okay.
With a tour of 2 years over there, and I begged her, I literally begged her to come to Europe, but she was too afraid. She was too afraid, I guess, to make that journey. You know. But when I came back, we were able to unite. We were able. We got us a home on the military base, and we lived pretty good, you know, as far as our finances and this type of thing is concerned, because the military kept you, it really took care of you, you know. But the trauma came when I was sent to Vietnam. And when I was sent to Vietnam, I mean, that was an experience that I could talk from now on about that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went to Vietnam and when I came back from Vietnam, I was a total wreck. When I say wreck, I was a total mess.
Yes.
You know? But that was short-lived, because I think I came out of Vietnam in 69. I came into the Nation of Islam in 72. So that period was short-lived. When I came to the Nation of Islam, that really turned things around. You know, lost stability to my life.
Yes, sir.
Although it was a lot of ups and downs, a lot of struggle. you know.
Yes. So that's a good place that I'd like for you to stop there, and I would want to ask you one more question, and you can be very succinct with this, and I'm going to go back to your wife, you know, Imam Farouk. You know, this is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and of course, we didn't have anything like this back in the day, if they say, or what. And what you're saying, that it was love at first sight, so you were just overwhelmed with her, obviously, and keeping it real. I got to ask the question, if there was a courtship, was it a very short courtship? And it's like, let's get married at that time.
It,
can you respond to that for me?
It was very short.
Okay.
It was very short. It was
very short. Okay.
I was ready to get married. I don't know.
Can you relate in terms of how soon? I mean, you saw her, you were overwhelmed and everything, and then when did it hit your mind, and then when did it really happen? Can you give us that information?
Well, it hit my mind the first day.
Okay.
because I was just 19. I was ready to settle down, really, you know.
Okay.
Because you know, being a teenager and out there in that world, it's a fast world, and I was just ready to just settle my life down, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And try to at least begin live a life that was structured, you know,
mm-hmm.
that was structured and that was family orientated, you know, because I came from a very closely knit family, very family orientated, and that's kind of really what I wanted, you know,
mm-hmm.
for my life, you know.
Yes.
So
alhamdulillah.
So
yes.
Like I said, it wasn't long.
Yes. That was great. No, that's great. Now I'm going to go back to your wife here. You know, it wasn't long. So, Dr. Farouk, if you would pick that up and you heard some of the comments of your husband, what would you like to add to that? He already said that he was overwhelmed. When he laid eyes on you, with love at first sight. So what was it for you, Dr. Farouk? Were you overwhelmed too? And how old were you at that time?
I was probably 19. I guess we both were, but let me say this. You know, you talk about energy is emotion is energy.
Yeah, energy and emotion. Emotion is energy and emotion.
Well,
yes.
Well, apparently... we had a lot of energy in us, you know.
Okay.
And that energy we had was in alignment with each other, you know.
Yes.
So, in other words, the energy in me saw that energy in him, you know.
Okay.
You know how when you're looking for someone, you're really looking for yourself too.
Yeah.
You know. If you love yourself, you want yourself. And that mate also. If you think you kind and safe, and he was safe. He looked safe. He wasn't ghetto. He wasn't raggedy. He wasn't. You know, it's just certain things. Your criteria, your expectation, your that you want in a person, and he had that, and he's quieter than me. I run my mouth. He's much quieter. You know, but we have books. So you kind of look for the opposite, too, you know. So
mm-hmm.
certain qualities my husband has always had. And sometimes that quietness can get on your last nerve, too, because that can be passive aggressive. So, you know, it's
mm-hmm.
two sides to that quietness, you know,
mm-hmm.
and things. But the point is that he had good character, you know,
yes.
and you can just see that in his quietness and in his demeanor. So I guess that's the energy that that was emitting from him that, you know, caught me. So alhamdulillah. Like my husband was saying too, it wasn't a long-term and long-term courtship, but it also is a good thing to look at the fact that we didn't court a long period of time. We got married because that's what was going on during our time anyway.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it shows that if you have a common sense criteria for picking a mate, you can maintain a marriage. Some people say, I was too young. I didn't experience life. You know, that's why I didn't stay married, and that's not a good way to look at things. Sometimes you need to get married because when you experience life outside of marriage, it might be in sin. You know, so we have to be careful about what experiencing life is all about. So all of our experience and struggles, and you were with each other, you know, and he was about to get to talking about when he came from Vietnam, that's when most of our men were going through changes in knowing how they were duped into the war and how when they came back, things were not made accessible to them, could not find jobs, mm-hmm. could not maintain things. So that caused a lot of hurt and anger in men during that time anyway. But Allah is most merciful. We were reading... The message to the black man during that time?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was the time where we were looking for our own identity, you know, wearing the afros and being black and I'm proud. But so we went into the Nation of Islam, you know, very early in our marriage. I think we've been married about 6 years prior to that. Yeah, because and then even prior to being in the Nation of Islam, we did not worship as Christians because he was raised as a Baptist and I was raised as a Catholic, and neither one of us saw that avenue for us. So we were mm-hmm. just stagnant, you know,
mm-hmm.
At that time as far as spirituality is concerned. But we were kind of into studying our little blackness or whatever and that kind of stuff. But Allah blessed us. And we need to understand that, too. Whatever struggles that we're going through are ignorance. If it's a sincere aspiration, desire for a better life, Allah will guide us to that. You know, I think that was very important for us to come into the nation. And we had ourselves share struggles in that, too, because here we are. We had certain perceptions, and our perception was not always in alignment with each other. Then we come into a new way of life, the Nation of Islam, that has certain structures and perceptions of the role a woman play and the role a man play, you know, and mainly kind of more on what we need to be doing. And so, you know, it's a lot of dynamics.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. Let's stop there, Dr. Farouk. And I want to go back to Imam Farouk and just to hear a little something from him. Your wife, as I listen to her, she described some qualities, some characteristics that she saw in you that was attractive to her. Outside of her just being a beautiful woman and you just being overwhelmed with her beauty, Imam Eugene, what qualities and characteristics did you notice in her, too, that was attractive to you? Would you share that with the radio listening audience?
Well, one thing right away I recognized that she was smart, very intelligent young lady. She's always been, I guess you might say, focused on getting an education.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that was one of the things that I kind of observed later on in our marriage, even before we came to the Nation of Islam, how she was determined to get an education. She was determined to realize some accomplishments in her life in that area, in that field. And as a matter of fact, and I saw these things very early on, but as a matter of fact, I can remember when we joined the Nation of Islam. And at that time, I think she was going to Texas Southern University. And my whole thing was, you know, you going to get the devil's education. We don't need that in our life. Right now. That's the devil's education. And you know,
and let them know. Let them know, because we have some listeners, Imam Eugene, that were not in the Nation of Islam, and so we said, I'm laughing because I came in 1967, and Quran, she's familiar with that language, but everybody that's listening in tonight is not familiar with that language, and this was part of the language in the Nation of Islam under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in terms of what we said, the devil, as we saw that person as the devil at that time.
Right.
Okay.
But anyway, she bought that ticket, but didn't last too long. But she found out, no, that's not the way we should look at education. Education is really it's a universal application, you know, that leads you to a better way of looking at life. A better way of looking at your intellectual abilities, et cetera, you know. So, like you say, we have some people on the line that may not, you know, understand when you say the devil's education. So we'll just go past that. But at any rate, like I was saying, that was some of the qualities that I saw in her, a sister that was looking for a structured life, a structured family life, a life that was going to influence not only her husband but her children, you know.
Yes.
Because of that, our children, the majority. Well, we have six. Four pursued an education, and the others pursued education too. Not in that educational arena where you go to college, but we have four that pursued an education, and they're doing very well. You know. And I think, I guess I might be the only one that, you know, kind of looked at it a little different, you know.
Well, it's okay, you know, Imam Eugene, to say that at that time, you know, in the Nation of Islam, we saw it being the devil's education in terms of Caucasian, the white man, so-called white man, education that we didn't. We didn't think that we needed that. We need to educate our own and all of that. That was the thinking at that point when you came in. So that was the thinking there. So, alhamdulillah, I'm going to turn it over to Quran, and she's going to have some questions. And then we eventually want to get to some of the insights and wisdom that you will be sharing with our radio listening audience in terms of how you actually sustain and maintain your relationship of 56 years, and then some of the hurdles that you had to actually be able to get over to sustain and maintain that. We're going to get to that in a little bit, but I'm going to turn it over to my partner, Quran Shakir.
Alhamdulillah, and I just want to thank both of you. I'm intrigued by your story. And one thing that I think is important when you're, I think what you're doing with this half a century plus years of being together and choosing marriage over all other things, because that's what it's been, you've had some places where you had to make decisions. And so I just want to make the connection for our audience in that when we hear about a marriage that was occurring half a century ago, and some of our listeners are not even half of a half a century old, for them to understand what you experienced and how does that connect to them, because, you know, history repeats itself, and so many of our experiences as humans happens over and over again. So I would love to hear about in those early years. I hear you when you say we struggled. I hear that. But I would love to hear some of the stories. What were the struggles specifically? And emotionally, how did you get through it as a young person, 19 and in your early 20s? How do you get through that? Like Dr. Farouk, you were in your early 20s and your husband is gone away and you're left to fend for yourself with the children with the prayer and the hope that he'll be back and, you know, the emotional toil that may take, worried about him, but also trying to just survive. And then we've heard this, the stories of trauma that comes with being in the war and in that experience, that it, the toll that it takes on family. So I would love to hear, and if we could, as we hear the stories, make connection for our listening audience.
Okay, I can make them again.
Well, I listen to you.
You know, being married 56 years, you have to accept the fact that there's going to be struggle. There's going to be sorrow and what have you. And even when we were not adhering to the truth that we knew, you can know scripture, but have you elevated your spirituality to adhere to that? You know, because a lot of times emotions get in the way. And when you get, when you deal with your struggles from an emotional perspective, your outcome is not favorable. You end up having more regret. So when you get tired of feeling sorrow or unhappiness, non-productive, you realize that you got to become different. You really do. Because you still love the person you're having a struggle with. You're not willing to separate from that person, but you're not living in peace because of your perception of the situation or your perception of that person and what you expect from that person. And a lot of times we women, we look to the man to do certain things for our happiness. And when those things are not being met, then we travel with this sorrow too long. You know, you start creating a narrative in your mind to support that pain or that sorrow. But you don't have to talk about in details of your pain. Because pain is the same regardless of what the situation is. It's still pain. And it's how you deal with it. And most often when you're young, you're not dealing with it properly. Why? Because you have certain perceptions of what marriage is supposed to be about. You have certain perceptions about what you're supposed to get out of it. You know, and a lot of times we think we're not supposed to have certain struggles and pain. The law has created all of this. These struggles and pain, and I'm telling you from experience by you, it's the it has made us better people. But if you stay, I guess you have to have patience. You know, we talk about emotional intelligence, right? You grow into that. That's not something you just automatically have. That's trial and error. And you have to learn to be patient, to be kind, to self-restraint. When you want to go off, you got to just say, just close your mouth, just let it pass. You have to talk to yourself. You have to put different words in your brain about that same situation. And when you change the way you look at it, things are start getting better. Because I know oftentimes it would be me talking noise, you know, raising sand. You know, you got the kids and, you know, you do these things. And then Imam Farouk, you say a little, and the less he say, the worse it made me feel. You know, I would be mad because he wasn't arguing back. He wasn't getting caught up into that. But the point is that I wasn't getting what I wanted out of it. So I had to change. I had to change the way I was looking at it, and I had to be patient. I had to entertain myself. I had to go back into my own soul and do something different if I wanted to get something different. Because I wasn't going to get it out of him the way I wanted to get it out of him. He wasn't doing that. and that's real. That's real. We're not on the same page at the same time, you know. And like he said, I was always studying, going to school, and what have you. He was out there struggling, trying to make ends meet and what have you. And money has a lot to do with it, too. When you have limited resources and you have kids, in five kids and six kids at a young age, that's a struggle by itself. Then you're in a new faith. That's not socially accepted in the society, the Nation of Islam. We had a lot of dynamics that we were dealing with. Young marriage, young people, no money, Nation of Islam. Boy, you know we are blessed today to be still here 56 years old. I mean, 56 years married.
Yeah,
Allah is most. I'm going to let Imam Farouk talk, so you know I can go for 2 hours.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah. Listen, I just like to speak a little bit about struggle.
Brother Imam, raise your voice up just a little bit. Elevate your voice a little bit, please.
I'd like to just speak. Can you hear me now? Pretty good?
Yeah, that's better. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, I'd just like to speak a little bit about struggle. During my time in the military, which was 4 years, it was not, I didn't experience a lot of struggle. And I say that because in the military, just about everything is taken care of. They take care of you, they take care of mostly all of your needs. You know, you don't have to worry about buying groceries, you don't have to worry about paying rent, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And really, this is a handicap, because when they cut you loose, you have to fend for yourself, you know. And in most cases, you don't even really know where to start, because they just cast you out there, and then you're on your own. But in reality, we're going to experience difficulty in life. By design, the difficulty is really what strengthens you. Allah, the Most High, tells us that Allah says that He created a struggle measured out to be hard work and sacrifice. And that was one of the things that we would always enforce in the Nation of Islam days. Your success comes with hard work and sacrifice. But in those cases, the hard work and sacrifice, in most cases, it was for the nation. You know, many times, you know, if you remember the Nation of Islam, you know we had to sell the paper. And I'm not saying that was a bad thing, because I consider myself a very good salesman today because of having to sell 400 Muhammad Speaks newspapers in 3 days, you know. And I have to attribute that to me being able to be a pretty good salesman today. But going on, ultimately, as I said, Allah created us for struggle. And ultimately, this will bring you to a state of ease. You know, it says, in my el usra yusra, with all difficulty comes relief. With all difficulty comes relief. But there has to be the difficulty in order to get the relief. When you have proper application of your physical values, which is hard work, proper application of those spiritual values, which essentially is submission to the will of God, then that will carry you a long way. And I like to say this. I want to add this. No woman wants a lazy man. A woman is looking for a man who is going to provide for her, who's going to maintain, and all this is going to require struggle and sacrifice. And that's it. A man who won't even take out the trash can you know, sister don't want to take out the trash. I mean, that's just she don't want that meat of tears picking up all that heavy weight. You know, that's for the man to do. So, but we all want the good life, and the good life starts off when you come into the world. And when you come into the world, you come into this world struggling. You know, when you come in as a baby, you have to struggle to crawl, you have to struggle to walk, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not going to come without challenge. A woman's challenge is to educate. She is the first teacher. So that's her challenge, to be able to prepare herself so she can educate, being the first teacher. The man's challenge is to maintain the family and the community life. And this requires, as I say, what we used to say in the Nation of Islam all the time, hard work and sacrifice. But in that hard work and sacrifice, there has to be a balance, you see. And Allah tells us that charity begins at home and then it spreads abroad. So you have to create that balance if you expect to have a balanced life.
Brother Imam, that's excellent. I'm glad that you said that in the realization in terms of what the role and responsibility is for both that's in the marriage, coming into the marriage. I think it's something very, very important, and especially those who are young and aspiring to be married. You know, we get our guidance and direction from the Quran, just exactly what you just said in terms of what Allah has said, Ar-Rajul Kanamuna An-Nisa, and that the men are supposed to be the supporters. They're supposed to be the leg for family, community life. And they also are supposed to be the protector and the maintainers. Now, I know some people say providers, but that's one of the properties of Allah and one of the attributes, Al-Razak,
yes.
Allah is the provider, which is very important. I'd like to, at this point, and we'll say to our radio listening audience, that if you tuned in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio. You're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir, yours truly, Mark Shaheed, and our special guest facilitators, Imam Eugene Farouk and Dr. Danielle Farouk, have joined us tonight. They're sharing their experience of 56 years of being married together and sustaining and maintaining that over the years, and a lot of insight has been shared with us already. We want to move the conversation to some things that I think will be very valuable for our radio listening audience to know in terms of the sustaining and maintaining the sacred institution of marriage. No, it hasn't always been peaches and cream either. I think the energy that you're talking about building something, I was in construction for years as a union painter, decorator, and had my own business. Just like when you look at the concrete, you also look at the abstract. And this is Allah's sacred institution. Allah said he established this, and he tells us that in Surah Furqan, that he created the human being from water, and then he established the relationship of lineage, marriage, and that Allah has power or influence over all things. So in looking at that, in terms of establishing the sacred institution of marriage or building that and thus a bond taking place there, my question to both of you is, what should be the foundation? And I'm asking this question for young people that may be young adults aspiring to become married, but also those persons that perhaps have been married and it didn't work out. Maybe they didn't go in with understanding that there have to be a foundation for this sacred institution. So I'll start with you this time, Imam Eugene. What should be the foundation? And then Dr. Farouk, you can also chime in on that. What should be the foundation when we look at the sacred institution of marriage? And what has it been for both of you two in terms of trying to keep the foundation where you've been for 56 years? Brother Iman?
Yeah. What I would say, based on our understanding of what Allah decrees, what Allah wants, the foundation should be God consciousness, taqwa.
Yes. Yes.
Taqwa. And I'd like to add to that, and taqwa is a fear, but it's not just an ordinary fear. It's not a fear like we fear the storm, or we fear the lightning, or we fear the weather, et cetera, et cetera. Even if we fear individuals, it's a fear of that goes very deep, and that fear is a fear to not to do anything that would displease our Creator.
Right.
You know, that's taqwa. Wanting to always, and
yes.
we're given instructions in our Quran as to what is necessary to please God, you see, but we have to be a student of the Quran, and we have to constantly read it. And as we can see, many things in the Quran are repetition, and it's repetitious for a certain purpose, and that is so that it can stick with us. It can stick with us to always have taqwa, always have strong belief in Allah, never wanting to do anything that would displease Him. We don't even want thoughts to come to our mind that may be to the displeasure of God, because He knows every thought. He knows the thought before we even get the thought, you know. So we have to be very careful as to what we think. We have to be very careful as to how we treat others, you see. And there's a lot to that, but I would say the main thing that we should look at is our taqwa, our God consciousness, and our sincere intent to please Almighty God, Allah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Brother Imam Farouk, in regards to that, because now the connection when you say that we can make with that is that being foundational, a foundation for building a healthy, harmonious marriage, because then if in not wanting to displease your Lord and Creator, then that means, you understand, that you're going to be the best man that you can possibly be, because you're God conscious, and Imam Muhammad has given us his tafsir on taqwa, being God conscious, being conscious regardful of God, or being conscious regardful of God's word, will, and way. So that
right.
means that it's going to help and shape and form you being the best man, the
mm-hmm.
best woman that you could possibly
mm-hmm.
be, the best husband, the best wife that you can possibly be, the best mother, the best father you can possibly be, the best family member you can possibly be, the best neighbor you can possibly be, the best businessman, the best businesswoman you can possibly be, the best community member. And we can go on and on and on with that being the foundation. Dr. Farouk, want to get some commentary from you. What should be that foundation? Please.
Well, just like my husband said, being God conscious. And what does that mean to a young marriage, a young person, you know, because at our age, we have been studying this faith a long time, right?
Yeah.
So we know the jargon from the Quran to say the right stuff. However, when you're young, you know, that's not always the case. You know, you might not be there in your spirituality. You'll be a good person, but we should tend to each other's needs. We're two people living in the same space, and we have responsibility to each other. You know, what brought you together? And even if you came together, if your union was not halal, Allah is merciful, God conscious. God forgiving. So improve your situation with each other. Create a better situation for you to live together in peace and in order. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to take care of each other's needs, not control that anger. Because when you're young and you're coming from this society that we're in now, you see manifestations of anger and murder and harshness toward each other. You must get control of your emotions, because that's how you destroy relationship. An angry person is like a drunk person. You know, then
yes.
After it's all over, then you wonder why you said the things you said and did the things you did. And we have to create an environment in our home that's conducive to success. To success. Success is not going to take place without God. You, if you Muslim, if you Christian, you have to study your scripture.
Yeah. Come on now.
We're not going to be successful human beings without God. It's not about your degrees and how much money you make, or if, sister, you make more money than him. That doesn't make you better than him. You can have a good husband. And with the right foundation and criteria, and you make the money. Use your money to continue to create the best in your life. If Allah bless you with the career or with the money, alhamdulillah. You know, and put it together. Now, I'm not always in agreement with putting it together, but do the best you do. Well, I'm saying,
give me real, Dr. Farouk. Farouk.
Because I remember when we were young, my husband, he just managed money and all that, but I had to go to Joann's or Claus World. I wasn't trying to give up all my money. I had to go to the fabric store, you know. So it depends on who you are and what works for you. Everybody has their own way, and it works for them. But you have to be fair to each other. And brothers, you can't get so holy and hang out in the prayer room and do not meet that sister's needs.
Come on now.
Yes, and we have to be real, and we got to stop thinking that Islam is so hard to be, or we do not. We are human beings, and Allah has blessed us in a situation to improve our life for the whole humanity. And if we're going to get here and go to the extreme and not model it properly, that would make people not want to be that. Let's create a balance. Let's be happy. Let's be in love. Let's look good. Because, you know, Brother Farouk and I, we love the style now.
Keep it real. That's right. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't dress him. He dresses himself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but every time I sew my clothes, I come out and I say, Eugene, how this look? I model it for him and everything and all that kind of stuff. We still have a life, and we enjoy each other, and I enjoy his cooking. And when he cooks good, I go make a new outfit and look good. So I'm
hungry. Hey, ma'am, Eugene, let me get you in here. Your wife mentioned something very, very important. I think that the radio listening audience should really take note in terms of the B word balance, the balance that you have to maintain and sustain in this sacred institution of marriage. This is very, very important. As your wife indicated, we know the narrative about the man that stayed in the Musalla all day long. All he did was just pray and made stickers and everything. The people was overwhelmed by what he was doing. And the Prophet Muhammad, he brought the balance by just simply asking them one question: who takes care of him? Who takes care of him? And a resounding, we do. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You are better than him." Talk about the balance, Imam Farouk. Talk about the balance in terms of spiritual responsibility and also social responsibility, where there are needs that have to be met. And for those persons that are in balance, it becomes the balanced people in this way of life. We can't be Gnostics. We can't be hermits and monks and divorce ourselves from social responsibility. This is very important in terms of sustaining and maintaining a healthy, harmonious marriage. Speak a few minutes about that, Imam Farouk.
Yeah, well, balance, and I'm glad you mentioned it, because balance is that's a very important factor. You can see, like, I'll give you an example. A man that's walking a tightrope, he has to be balanced, because if he leans over too much on one side, that means he's going to fall to his destruction. So he has to maintain the balance. You see, even when we go back to scripture and we see some of the symbolism of Jesus on the cross with his arms stretched out, and that also represents balance. So that lets you know how very important balance is, because if you lean too far to one side, that's going to be a problem. You know, even in the case of our spirituality, there has to be a balance between our spiritual self, our intellectual self, and our physical self. You see, because if there's no balance, then you're going to lean too much to one side, and that's going to throw everything off. Like you were saying about the man who's in the masjid, he prays all the time, and they went to the prophet about this, and they say, well, who take care of him? Say, well, we do, dear holy apostle. Say, well, you are better than him, you know, because he is not maintaining a balance. He is not even taking care of himself materially. So you have to take care of him. And another thing about the balance is, it always says that a person is out of balance if his hand is always out. You know,
come on
in
now.
This religion it says that the hand that feeds is better than the hand that's always out. So you have to, in some point in your life, you have to be in a position where you can give. Because if you're never able to give, then that's going to be a terrible imbalance in your life, you know. And then even when you give, there's a balance with that too. Because when you give, you have to give for the pleasure of God. It's natural for us when we give. It's natural. It's a natural thing for us when we give to want to be recognized. But you cannot allow that to outweigh that you're giving for the pleasure of God, because this is what God wants you to do. This is not what you want to do. It's what God wants you to do, because we're obligated to help the needy, not only from a financial standpoint, but from a spiritual standpoint, from an emotional standpoint. We as Muslims, we are obligated to help others, because that's why Allah has blessed us with this, so that we can give back. And this, I know I went into another direction, but this all has to do with balance.
That's okay.
Living a balanced life.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Look here, what we want to do is that we want to invite our radio listening audience. If you have any questions or comments, this is time to press 1 to get in line. I know you should have some questions and comments, but I got to ask this question because, you know, for the naysayers and all, especially when there's differences in the sacred institution of marriage, these differences oftentimes they lead to debates, and then after debates, it regresses to arguments and all of this, you know, bad feelings and all of this. And I remember being in the Nation of Islam, it was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad who used to say to us that we should think 5 times before we speak. We should think 5 before we speak. And as a wordologist, I look at the word think, and the word think has 5 letters in it. And there's 5 questions that, you know, I often talk about that you should ask yourself in communication with your mate. That T in think stands for, if what you're getting ready to say, is it true? If it's not true, then it's going to be false. In the word think, the next letter is H. Is what you get ready to say, is it going to be helpful? If it's not going to be helpful, it's going to be harmful. Shouldn't say it. The I in the word think is what you get ready to say to your mate. Is it going to be inspirational? You know, encouraging. If not, the opposite is going to be discouraging. Then you shouldn't say it. The end, and this is a biggie in the word think. Is it necessary? What you're getting ready to say? And oftentimes, this is what starts the communication going south, if you will, because we say a lot of things that's unnecessary in the communication. And then finally, the last letter in the word think, in terms of thinking five times, the way you say it, is it kind? Because if it's not kind, then it's going to be cruel. And all the other things that you may have said that was true, was intended to be helpful, was intended to be inspirational, and necessary to say, but you said it in a cruel way, then the communication don't come across as it should. My question to both of you is that we don't live in a situation where as that none of us are infallible. So when there is a difference and all, and you have to communicate, how should that communication actually be done? And what should be the criteria when we really, really differ and we're really passionate about the position that we're taking? Should it be our position or disposition? And for that, I'm going to go to you first, Dr. Farouk, and give you maybe, say, 3-4 minutes to elaborate on that, because I think this is very, very important in terms of sustaining and maintaining a healthy relationship. Dr. Farouk?
So behaviors in the word think is very important, but I want you all to understand, too, that when we're young, sometimes we don't think and we make mistakes. But when you're sincere and when you love a person, Allah will put that wavering in your heart to remind you that that wasn't right. And if you want to sustain that relationship, you have to change the way you do things, the way you think, the way you say things. It's very important. We can save these marriages if we adhere and use our intellect the proper way. Allah has given us everything we need in our Quran, in our book, in our scripture, to maintain the best life. We got to study it so we can change the false perceptions that we have about who we think we are, our mate, and our situation. We don't know. We don't always know how to do it the right way. You're not left alone. You're really not. You need to associate with God-conscious people. If you should have friends that aspire to please God, to do what's right. You should not go away from your home telling your business, your negative life, to any and everybody. They might take side with the wrong aspect that you have. You understand? So you have to be very serious about your relationship with each other, and not think that you're not going to have your struggles. You're not going to have problems. Allah created our life in toil and struggle. Bottom line. But he also created us with a criteria for right and wrong and how to improve ourselves, you know, with that. Because we have the right way, just like what Brother Shahid just elaborated on. That's the best way. What about if you're not doing it the best way now? What are you going to take from that? What are you going to do to change? You have to go cry out to your Creator. Beg Allah to help you change, but you can't do it without Allah's assistance. You must cry out to your Creator to help you improve your way of communicating and your interpersonal relationship with your mate.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. That's excellent advice and information, Dr. Farouk. Thank you so much for that. Imam Farouk, I'd like to get your response to that in terms of the importance of good communication to sustain and maintain a good, healthy relationship. And also, please comment in terms of differences. When you and your wife have differences, what is it that you do, you understand, so that you're able to reconcile those differences? Ma'am,
Well, first of all, I'd like to say there's a saying in Islam. It says, think, for surely thinking profits the thinker.
Yes.
Allah the Most High says in the Quran, O ye who believe, fear Allah, and always say a word directed to the right.
Yes.
So what does this tell us? It tells us to keep the truth strong and out front. No hidden agendas, no secrets, no deception. This is very important in a good,
yes,
strong relationship. Lies and deception separate the husband and the wife, but truth fortifies their relationship. See,
yes.
Even the smallest bit of untruth can start to unravel a healthy relationship. So that's very important. And Allah goes on to say that He may make your conduct whole and sound, and forgive you your sins. He that obeys Allah and His apostle has already attained the highest achievement. So that's very important. You see, the human being makes mistakes, so forgiveness must be sought. Seek forgiveness from Allah, and most important, as we all know as Muslims, obey Allah and His apostles. So just to summarize this, in whatever disagreements with you that you may have, or whatever problems that you may feel that this solution is the best solution, you see, always whatever the answer to the problem is, it can be found in truth. So always keep the truth out front, you see. And also remember that the Quran has the answer to every problem that we may have. It's in there, you see. But we have to be sincere in seeking out those answers, and Allah will take you right to it, you know.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. I know we got some callers probably lined up, and this is your opportunity. Press 1, and those listening by way of the internet, you can join in on this. This is your time now. You heard the Farouk in terms of giving us some great insight, wisdom, some precious gems, and all.
Yeah.
So this is your time to ask questions. So, Quran, who do we have in the queue with their hands up and want to ask the question?
Let us go to 214-734. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
My name is Clara M. Muhammad. I'm
welcome.
In Dallas, Texas.
Yeah, courtship and marriage. You got a question, comment?
Comment. I have been, I came in under Imam W.D. Muhammad. May Allah be pleased with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to everything that you all have said. I came in a little late, but, I mean, it has been an excellent speech. One thing I would like to say to the young generation out here, if you didn't know this, they mostly communicated with each other and not other people interfering in their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
In their relationship and telling them what to do, and they try to copy somebody else's conversation, what's happening in their life, different people.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing the youth today need to focus on, being truthful to each other, sticking close to what each other needs are, and not so much of listening to other people and their relationship, because they are totally two different people than you are. So that's one of the things I would like to say to the youth today. And don't get discouraged, you know. Just keep praying and asking Allah, you know, to give you what is good in this life and withhold that which is not. And He is a merciful God and can do that. And may Allah bless people like you all, people who have been in a relationship this long to come on and talk to us older people, which I believe I'm old as you, as well as the younger people also.
Thank you so much. Now, where are you from? Once again, sister, before you leave, give us your name again and where you're calling in from, if you would, please.
Yes, sir. My name is Clara M. Muhammad, and I'm in Dallas, Texas, at Masjid Al Islam.
Okay, alhamdulillah. So, Sister Muhammad, we really appreciate you calling in. We ask that you continuously listen to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab and let your family and friends and your community know to tune in, listen in. And anytime you have a question or comment, we do invite you to press 1. We really appreciate your comment. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Press 1,
thank
Sister
you.
Muhammad, as you go out so we can keep the studio clear. And who do we have up next, Karan?
Let us go to 314-435. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Maria. Thank you, Mark, for inviting me. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, El Mukminun Islamic Center. And, you know, as I was listening to them talk, I was thinking about what Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, instructs us in the Quran. He says, in the heavens and the earth and within ourselves, there are instructing signs for the wise. So within the last year, we have two excellent examples of Muslim marriages who have endured struggles, and Allah blessed them with 50 years plus. And I was thinking about, of course, as I was listening about this couple and their struggles and things they were saying, and I was always thinking about, I was also thinking about Zubaydah Mayoun and her husband. You know, they had a struggle where their brother was incarcerated for 50-something years, but he never gave up the struggle. You know, she and I used to work together at Bilalian News. And she used to take me home all the time, and I know the brothers was after her left and right. But she told me once, she said, "Sister, I got my husband. I'm just waiting on him to come home." So she had that faith in Allah. You know, she had a conviction. She had a belief in her marriage, and she went through the struggle. And Allah blessed her. So as I'm thinking about what these two examples is showing me, I pray Allah that I can grasp them and hold on to them. And if Allah blesses me with a husband again, I could use their insight in my struggling of the marriage. And thank you very much for listening. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum
assalam. Thank you for connecting.
Yes, Maria, that's from the STL is represented tonight. So thank you so much, Maria. Very well said. So alhamdulillah that this message is resonating with you. Press 1, Maria, as you go out the queue. Who else do we have? Got their hands up, Karan?
And that's it for those who have their hands
up. That's it.
Up.
Okay. So we do want to invite you. This is your time to ask the Farooqs questions. In regards to their marriage, you know, 56 years is a long time. Some people don't even live to be 56 years of age, and they have sustained and maintained their marriage for all of these years, and it hasn't always been peaches and cream, as they shared, and they are telling you just exactly what Allah has said in the Quran, so it shouldn't be no surprise or shock to us, you know, that it's going to be like that. But just think about it. You know, this is a law of sacred institution, and it's a growth and development that actually takes place in the sacred institution of marriage. You know, they had a commercial years ago, Imam Farooq and Dr. Farooq, you was talking about military, you know, join the army and be all you can be. No, we need to change that. Get married and you can be all you can be. You can be all you can be, as you say, in the marriage, because who know better? You know, Allah, a man, you see. So, no, it does help to provide the discipline. But also, we're talking about the balance. You're not going to have balance unless you do have discipline, you see. So this is so very, very important. And at this time, Karan, I know you have some questions still, and I read, we do invite our radio listening audience. You still got time to press one if you have any questions or comments. And at this time, I think it's probably a good time to see, take a little mini survey here with so much information been shared by the Farooqs. If what you heard tonight, has it resonated with you? Now, I'm going to ask you to participate in this little mini survey. Has it resonated with you? Have you benefited from listening tonight? And I'm going to count, I'm asking you to press one. I'm going to ask you to hold it while I count to 10. Just press one. You know, you might not want to have anything to say. Press one if it has resonated with you. And I'm up to 5. And I'm up to 10. So, Karan, do we have any calls that press 1?
We certainly did. Several of them press 1.
Okay,
so
several of them press 1.
Oh,
now,
my goodness,
those of you who
down,
just would like to say to the Farooqs and to us what you heard on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab tonight, you can just say it in a general way. You don't have to say specifically what it is that you actually learned that resonate with you. Stay in the queue, and Karan will open your mic, and you can just state, you might want to give them the greetings and just acknowledge 56 years of marriage. That's something that should require a standing ovation as far as I'm concerned in that regard. If you don't want to say anything, you can press 1 and go out. But if you do want to just say what you got tonight has resonated with you in a general or specific way, stay in the queue. Karan, did we have any stayed in the queue, or did everybody run away?
They did not run away. Several people are in the queue. Let's go to
okay,
them.
Okay, let's go
to
them and see what resonated with them tonight from the information education that we received tonight. Let's go, Karan, and see what we have.
All right, let's start with 469-685. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Take yourself off of mute, 469. You're live. Maybe they moved away. Take yourself off of mute, 469. You're live and on the air. Well, we can come back to them, Karan.
Okay. All right. We will go to 832-996. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Assalamu
alaikum wa
rahmatullahi. Who are you and where are you calling from? You're in Houston somewhere.
This is Amina Muhammad. And
I do that for us, Amina. Alhamdulillah. Welcome.
And I want to say that there is no a couple more inspiring in our community than Imam Farooq and Daya Farooq. I mean, they are entrepreneurs. They're go-getters. I mean, when I have to keep up with Sister Daya. Okay. She's the inspiration. I seek her counsel. I try to keep up with her styling and profiling. I know, right? She's a lover of the community. We love her. We love him. And we still gain so much from them. They are our pillars in our community, and they continue to give.
Yes.
And we want to bless them, and we thank you for honoring them. I was also thinking of Ima Nasser and Halima. They've been married also for a long time. We have a lot of couples.
Oh, yeah.
Weather the storm, yes.
We're going to get Nasser and his wife, you know, on. We're going to get them on, too. So, it was good seeing you, Amina, you know, at the historic conference this year.
Alhamdulillah, I'm trying to go through the time to be grateful, inshallah. So be there, inshallah.
Oh yeah. We look upon being there. So alhamdulillah, thank you so much for calling in and everything.
Yeah,
and so now we
thank
know
you.
That. You're trying to keep up with Dr. Farouk.
Yes. Oh, you better believe that. She's
and she got
girl.
A few years on you.
Oh, I don't know. I have to ask her all the time, how old are you? I mean, I don't believe you. You know, Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, my dear sister. Press 1. Wow, Sister Muhammad, press 1. So we keep this. Let's keep going, Karan. Let's see.
All right, we're going to go to 972672. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
My name is Regina Butler.
Regina.
Hello, Mark.
Welcome. This is a good.
Yeah,
this is a good friend of mine, Regina Butler. You know, established a good relationship. A good Christian sister. You heard the Farouk tonight. Did anything resonate with you? As they've been married for 56 years, and how they maintain and sustain their relationship, Regina.
Yes. First, congratulations on the 56 years. That is awesome. Yes, everything resonated with me. The communication is a key factor for me. So that's where I'm processing still as it relates to my current relationship.
Right, right. Alhamdulillah.
Good. Yeah, you know, and I talked to Regina earlier and requested that she tune in, listen in. You know, this day of modern technology, it has its benefits. And I'm not saying it because I'm, you know, not able to use it like other people. But you know what Mark Shaheen will do? I'll pick up that telephone in a minute and just call people. Just tell them like you used to do back in the day. You need to tune in to the question. We're going to have some special guests tonight. You need to tune in and listen. I think you might learn something. That's how I talk.
Yeah,
just keep it real. That's how I talk. And they and these people have done that. They listen in and they've called in and they benefited. So thank you so much, Regina, for calling in and everything. And I'll be looking to speaking with you the next couple of days. I have a little time. Been just super busy here, okay?
Yeah. Thank you so much.
And thank you. Press 1, Regina, as you go out the queue. So we can keep it. Anybody else with their hands up there, Karan?
Yes, there's several of them. We're going to go to 81331. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
Take yourself off of mute, 813531. You're on mute. You are live. Your question or comment to our guest here.
Yeah, this is your sister Nadia Osmet out of Houston, Texas.
All right now. Nadia Osmet, it's an honor to have you on also. So, What do you want to say? I know you're very close friends here.
Absolutely. And I first want to just second the emotion of Sister Amina Muhammad because she said so much, and I can testify to everything that she said about the Farouks. But
oh,
I can't think of any family in this community who don't love and respect the Farouks, and they have so much to offer. And I'm just so proud of them and so thankful to Allah for them. And I just want to give them a shout out and say congratulations for all that you do, for your family, for the good example that you all have set in the community, for all of us, for the old and the young.
Oh, yes.
And Allah continues to bless you all to be able to be that light for the community. And we need to do this. We need to do what you all did here tonight in person in Houston, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to
Nadia.
Oh, yeah.
You're going too far, Nadia.
No, you know what? I understand. I do agree with her because
it's needed.
Look what's happening. Let me say this real quickly, Nadia. Look what's happening in the secular. look how they have defined, misdefined marriage. Look how they have denigrated marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And the statistics prove it. So what it is that our Lord and Creator has established, we have to redefine the sacred institution of marriage. And we have to say that it's a sacred institution. Why? Because Almighty God established it. It's in the Quran. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So when we see that the outer society is denigrating marriage, and we see people want to just, for lack of a better word, shack up or just play house and really denigrate the sacred institution of marriage, we have to stand up for the sacred institution of marriage. And so now young people are asking, why should they get married? You know, we have to remove all doubt. Because Allah says in the Quran, that is the book, and it is guidance, sure, without doubt. And this is in every aspect of the human being's life. Who knows better? Who created us? Who knows better what's best for us? And yes, we should promote it in our own locale. We should promote it nationally. And most of the national entities now, they have something in regards to marriage. They have things for those who are unmarried. They're encouraging that. It's to not just be in the family life. It has to be in the community life. It has to be into the outer society. What is our position on the sacred institution of marriage? Now, you can't talk about it too much. If what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, that marriage is one half of the deen, the religion, then I ask the question, how come we're not getting more imams giving khutbahs, talims, seminars on the sacred institution of marriage? I could go further, but I have to say that because, so we have shining examples. The naysayers, you should put them to shame, because people will call in all day on different shows, you understand, and say negative things about relationships. So Quran and I, we have this courtship and marriage platform, and it's important for people to understand the do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship and what constitutes a healthy, harmonious marriage by the way of the Quran and Islam. So this is very important, and we can't underscore it enough. I just had to say that. Allah put that on my heart. But yes, because we have examples. We have two examples tonight, and this is what it is. We want to have more here on courtship and marriage, and all the messages, the people that are listening in tonight. No, you should do that. You should honor those couples in terms of longevity. You understand? Mm-hmm. Going through the struggle and maintaining their marriages. You see? Mm-hmm. So. No, it can't be underscored enough. I had to say that. So, alhamdulillah. Go ahead, Nadia. I'm sorry.
No, thank you so much. Because, I just want to say that because I see the need for it so much. And when you have a shining light right before you, you need to put it out there. And Imam Farouk, he's probably one of the most kind and gentle brothers that I've ever met. And we need more of that. So the brothers say, the Prophet Muhammad, the late Islam, said that, that the best for you is the one who is kind to your wife.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So happy right. Wife, happy life.
<That's>
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Brothers need to know that.
You got that right.
They both together, they bring so much to the community, and it definitely needs to be spotlighted. People need
that's
to
right.
hear more what they have to say.
I agree with you,
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you so much, Nadia. It's good to hear your voice. I will be contacting
you.
I will be contacting you very soon.
I
want you to do. So I'll be contacting you. Thank you so much, Nadia.
Right, I look forward to it. No problem.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum. Press 1, Nadia, on your way out to keep the studio clear. All right, Karan Shakir, we still got hands in the air.
We do, and I just want to add to what Sister Nadia said and share that, years ago when we were at school and we were talking about some of the challenges that our students were experiencing in the world,
mm-hmm.
one student mm-hmm. stood up and he said, "You're telling us that we shouldn't be doing this." And he said, "But you're telling us after we have fallen or made a mistake or erred in doing this."
Ooh,
and he said, here's the clincher for me was that he said, "We hear so much from the media and other things that we are engaged in that invites
mm-hmm.
us to it. We don't hear enough
mm-hmm.
from you about why we shouldn't do it or something
mm-hmm.
else to pull us in another direction." Now, I'm saying that to add to what Sister Nadia said, we have to really celebrate the goodness of our relationships, the goodness of being in our community, and show
yeah.
good things happening so that our children will have something that counters all of the other experiences
yeah.
that they
That's
are
right.
invited to. So just to remind
That's
us,
right.
so we are going to now go to, yes, 832-894. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Is your name and where you're calling from? You are on the air.
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Another Houston believer. Yes, go ahead. Your question or comment to our special guest tonight.
This is Yazid out of Houston. As-salamu alaykum, Mount Farouk. Dr. Farouk. You know, since I came to the community in 1986,
mm-hmm.
I want y'all to know that I always admired y'all met, and it has been an inspiration to me. And listening to y'all tonight have really been a great inspiration for me.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
I've been married 5 months and a day. So
wow.
Alhamdulillah.
I don't know everything about marriage.
Alhamdulillah.
Friend, I really appreciate and congratulate you all to your success. And, hey, y'all
yeah,
said some things that have really, really been helpful.
Yeah,
and what's your name again, brother?
My name is Yazid.
Yazid? Okay. Thank you, my brother. Thank you for calling in and just sharing with our radio listening audience how the Farouks have impacted your life and what you heard tonight, how it has resonated with you. Thank you so much. And may Allah bless you many, many years with your wife and your life and longevity. Try to reach that goal just like they have, 56 and beyond. Inshallah. Amen.
I married a very righteous sister, been in the community. How long you been in the community? Allah, 35 years. And, I thank Allah for her.
Yeah.
So Imam Farouk, you probably be seeing me more often.
Alhamdulillah.
Well, thank you so much, Yazid, and thank you for calling in and sharing with our radio listening audience. And Quran and I would like to invite you to continuously listen. I know you're on because the Farouks are here, but this production is on each and every Thursday. We want to say to the whole radio listening audience, this is the type of information, education you get each and every Thursday night on IWDM Radio. So please keep that number and continue to call in and listen in and continue to press 1. You got questions or comments, we welcome all of that. Thank you so much. We're honored to have you in the comments that you've made. May Allah continue to bless you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Press 1 as you go.
And while we're here, for Mark, I just want to remind our listening audience also, if you're new to listening to us, please go to our social media, to our Facebook page and our Instagram page, and like us. And that is Bring It to the Lab. go ahead and like us and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. That way you can stay up to date on some of the programming that we have coming up and some of the other things we promote. Like today we push for the Muslim Journal Time to be grateful. But it's so much that we're doing, and we would love to have you continue to be connected.
Absolutely.
And Mark, you don't have anybody else in the queue, so we
ain't got nobody else in the queue. Boy, this is
this kind of worked out
so very well as we are getting closer and closer, you know, to the top of the hour and all. And, you know, Karan, if you have a question that you would like to ask them, it would be a good time to do that. And then I want to give them an opportunity, the last question, after Karan asks any questions that she wants. What advice would you give, and two types of people that we really want to reach? Young people that have reached the age of pubescence, or young adults, as we say, young adults. What advice would you give them when it comes to the sacred institution of marriage? And then I also want you to say something to those who may have been married and have given up on the sacred institution of marriage. What advice would you give them? Yeah, so you can think about that. So I know you probably didn't know I was going to hit you with that. But I'm going to put a time parameter on both of you. So you just think about that. You're going to have about 2.5-3 minutes to respond, both of you, in regards to those questions. Karan, anything would you like to ask as we get closer and closer?
Well, because we are at the top of the hour, I would like to yield my questions so they can give the answer to that, because I think that's a great question that you've asked.
Yeah, so,
and I just
want to say
that what I've done, I have truly, I sat back and just listened because it was so beneficial what you were sharing, and I didn't want to interrupt. And so I feel like you have offered us so much this evening. So I want to yield my time to you.
Okay, so alhamdulillah. Thank you, Karan. Okay, so you know what? I'm going to start with you, Dr. Farouk, this time. Yeah, you know, I don't know if y'all keep count.
Repeat the question.
Okay, it's going to be two questions, twofold, and you can answer both of them while I have you. What advice would you give to our young people who may be thinking about marriage, aspiring to be married? That's one. And then the other question is, for those persons who may have married before, didn't work out and everything, and maybe they've given up on the idea, the concept that they could actually be in a good, wholesome relationship, what advice would you give to them? So I'm going to give you 2.5 to 3 minutes to answer both of those questions. So I'm putting you on the clock, Dr. Farouk, and then I'll give your husband the same amount of time. So you between the two of y'all, I got about between 5 to 6 minutes before we close out, okay?
Well, we must accept that Allah knows best, and Allah has created the marriage institution for us to be successful and grow as human beings. And Allah has given us all the support to make sure we're successful at that. And if you Muslim, you read your scripture, you read Holy Quran, you associate with God-conscious Muslims, people who are knowledge. Respect the elders in your community, your mother, your father, the people who have knowledge about situations. That's who you go to for advice, and people who are living the life. Good Christians do the same thing. Follow your scriptures. Follow the best people in your community that's modeling marriage relationships. And also know that without struggle, there's no progress. The marital institution helps you become mature, responsible, the love you want. You won't have to worry about a boyfriend quitting you every 3 months. You might get upset. You know, you can hang on to your man better with marriage.
That's right.
And then not be in the situation, seriously. And we have to respect what Allah has designed for us to be successful. And for those who have been married, before and not in a marriage, we have to make sure we understand who we are. We have to make sure that we solve the problems in our own soul. What's bothering you in your own soul, so you won't take that same issue to the next relationship. And do not punish yourself or deprive yourself of a relationship because something in the past that did not work out. Give yourself in this life, this is where you get married in this life and whatever, because you want to exit this life in the best situation. And you want to, everybody doesn't have to, but you know, you want to live with somebody, you want to love somebody, you know. So inshallah, it depends on the person's situation. Some people have been married a long time and they feel like they've had enough of that. They can actualize their spirituality in other ways in doing for the community. So, and they have a right to do that. But those of you who are not getting married because of some painful past experience, then you need to face reality about that, solve that in your own soul, take it to Allah, and transform it.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you so much, Dr. Farouk. Excellent advice. Good commentary.
Mm-hmm.
Really
appreciate.
Let's go to you, Imam Farouk.
I hope y'all, this is the time to go back.
We hear some noise in the background there. Okay, so let's make sure we close that mic. Okay, thank you. Okay, Imam Farouk, you got about two and a half minutes, 3 minutes for the same question. What advice would you give to young people that's aspiring to be married? And also those who have been married before, and they have too much hopeless in terms of ever wanting to marry again. What advice would you give them, Imam Farouk?
Okay, some advice that we've given, I think on two or three times, is that marriage is very sacred. Marriage is very sacred, and it is a trust from Allah that should be honored. And as I mentioned earlier, successful relationship depends greatly on how you enter into the relationship for the young people. You need to have some history of who you are about to live with, inshallah. And you have to be conscious of how were you introduced into this relationship. It could have been through the relationship of your family. It could have been through a line of communication at your masjid. This is very important that we communicate in such a manner. And we should not, well, and this might be a bit controversial, but we should not have to depend on resort to the internet to find a mate. That's not where you go to find a mate. You see, you have to have some history of the person you're about to form this relationship with, and you have to be introduced properly. In my own opinion, and maybe others with different opinions, the proper way to be introduced to a person is not going online, because you don't know what you're going to get a hold to. And also, there's so much corruption on the airways, unnatural behavior, unnatural practices, and Satan has made these things seem alluring. So you have to really depend on your scripture to give you the correct interpretation on proper behavior, proper practices, etc. And to those who are married and maybe having some difficulties, always remember, Allah says in the Quran that after difficulty comes relief. After difficulty comes relief. So there has to be patience and there has to be perseverance. Allah wants for us the good life. Allah does not want for us the bad life. Allah wants for us the good life. So we have to look out. We have to look out for each other. And we have to overlook small faults that don't mean anything at all. You know, we all have faults. the husband has faults, the wife has faults, but the small things we have to look over. And things that are major, we have to really, really sit down and talk about and communicate, have a line of communication so we can iron these things out, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Imam Farouk, Dr. Farouk. You gave us a whole lot of things to really think about. Hopefully that our radio listening audience took good notes here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Quran and I, we want to really, really thank you. We want you to know that you have an open door policy with us here on IWDM Radio. In particular, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, we can learn a lot from you, you know, when you've been together for as long as you've been together and the struggles and all that you've gone through and how you have continuously been dedicated and committed to sustaining and maintaining your relationship for 56 years. And I just want to say to you, may Allah continue to bless you with many, many, many more years together. Mm-hmm. And keep on styling and profiling both of you. Alhamdulillah. We thank you dearly for coming on with us. And we want to say that as we get ready to close down, I have a radar watch out for one of our scholarly learned imams who I consider to be a forerunner in terms of promoting healthy male-female relationships. Imam Fahim Shoaib, he hasn't been with us for a while. I can't give you a confirmation, but I'm just letting you know I have wired him up and also be waiting for a response. I told him I need something ASAP, and I know he was very busy in the month of September, and all was good to see him. Not the time to be grateful, that's coming up, but the historic conference there in Chicago, Illinois. So I'm just letting you know that what we can be looking for, and there was a suggestion made in terms of my good friend, Imam Dr. Nasser Ahmed Halima. She's a doctor too, Dr. Halima Ahmed. Also, she's a doctor too. Many, many years, and we have others. We have others in this community, and if you know of others in this community, please let us know. Bring it to the lab at gmail.com, and Quran will give you that information, how you can contact us and everything. And Quran, you know what you have to say. I know we're at the top of the hour here, and give that information out once again. How can our radio listeners stay in touch with us here, Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab?
Yes, I just want to say to our wonderful, I call them the power couple, thank you so very much. Your messages were practical, and I think it's something that people can hear it and see themselves applying it. So thank you so much for all that you shared this evening. And to our listening audience, thank you all for the opportunity. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for tuning in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on IWDM Radio. We pray that you benefited and that you found what we shared this evening quite helpful, inshallah. If you did, we ask you every week, why don't you go to our Facebook and our Instagram page and comment and say, wow, here's what I learned. Be back next week, next Thursday. Every Thursday. So please go and comment on our Facebook and our Instagram, and it is Bring It to the Lab. Thank you so much. We ask you to stay connected if you're not already connected with us on Instagram and Facebook. And if you have a question or a comment or a suggestion, email us at bringittothelab@gmail.com. Thank you again. And Mark, it's always wonderful to share this platform with you. And I turn the mic back over to you.
Alhamdulillah, the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost, always. Of course, we want to thank our very honored, very distinguished, esteemed guests, the Farouks, for joining us, accepting the invitation that we extended to them. And always, I want to thank Quran Shakir. We really have a jewel in our community, as she has shared much over the years, even before coming to this platform, and she was a consistent columnist in the Muslim Journal on relationships. So I'm so honored to have you and sharing your insight and wisdom each and every Thursday here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Want to thank the radio listening audience, because without you, there wouldn't be an IWDM radio, and nor will we have these type of productions that we have, such as the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And we want to say the beat goes on here at IWDM Radio, as tomorrow is Salatul Juma Day, Muslim worldwide. For those who are immobilized, can't get out and about, you can come back to IWDM Radio for Salatul Juma with Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir. And it begins at 2 p.m. Eastern. It's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. The longest-running production here on IWDM Radio, once again with the very distinguished, esteemed Imam Mikhail Sahir, Words Make People. That's each and every Sunday afternoon. It starts at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central, and it's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. You always have very intriguing guests and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And the beginning of the week, the very distinguished, esteemed Rashid Salam, his returning guest, Instructor Abdul Shahid, on the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. You need to bring your notebook, you need to bring an ink pen, a pencil, and take down the excellent notes. That starts each and every Tuesday night. It's 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And the sister learning lab to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with the very distinguished, esteemed host, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean. She joins yours truly, Mark Shahid, each and every Wednesday. And it begins at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And we have an excellent publication in Parenting Skills based on the Quran and the Sunnah, Practical Application for Various Ages. That's an excellent book, so you can follow us in that learning lab. And then it's followed by the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. Well, I always like to bring very distinguished, esteemed guests inside of our community, outside of our community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. As I had Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, a longtime editor of the Muslim Journal, was on with us last night. We had also Joan Najila, who is the national chair for the Time to Be Grateful, and the host city, Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, Amani Abdullah, was with us last night, giving us an update on this upcoming 2022 Time to Be Grateful. It'll be a great time there. So please tune in to the MGM Roundtable next week. We're going to have some outstanding guests. I'm going to keep it a surprise, so you have to tune in. And it starts at 8 p.m. Eastern. It's 7 p.m. Central, and it is 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And tonight, as always, it's the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with our very distinguished, esteemed host, Quran Shakir, yours truly, Mark Shahid. And that happens each and every Thursday night, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. We got an Imam Fahim Shuaib watch out. And so if not, you still want to return next week, it'll be something that would be informational and educational here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. So please invite your family, friends, associates, neighbors, community members to please tune in. Let's make sure we try to get to the Time to Be Grateful. We all have a lot to be grateful for. And please, last but not least, let's make sure we support the lifeblood of our community. That's the Muslim Journal. Make sure you keep your subscription up. And if, in fact, that you have the wherewithal, think about somebody that you can give a subscription to, be it a family member, a friend, an associate, a neighbor, a community member, or maybe your local library, where many can read that. So with that being said, until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you.